ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 7, Text number 3 and 4. 3 is not written here. I would like to read. Prajapatir Dagdashishno Bhavatvaj Mukham Shiraha Mitrasya Chakshush Kshetit Bhagam Swam Bahirsho Bhagaha. Lord Shiva continued, since the head of Daksha has already been burned to ashes, he will have the head of a goat. The demigod known as Bhaga will be able to see his share of sacrifice through the eyes of Mitra. And today's verse, Pusha tu yajamanasya Dadbihi Jakshatu Pishtabhuk Devaha Prakrata Sarva Angaha Ye Me Uccheshanam Daduhu Pushatu Yajamanasya Tadbhir Jakshatu Pishtabhuk Devaha Prakrita Sarvanga Yema Uccheshanam Daduhu Pushatu Yajamanasya Tadbhir Jakshatu Pishtabhuk Devaha Prakrita Sarvanga Yema Uccheshanam Dadu Pushatu Yajamanasya Dadbhir Jakshatu Pishtabhuk Devaha Prakrita Sarvanga Yema Uccheshanam Dadu Pusha Pusha Tu But Yajamanasya Of the performer of sacrifice Dadbihi With the teeth Jakshatu Chew Pishtabhuk Eating flour Devaha, the demigods, Prakrita, made, Sarva Angaha, complete, Ye, who, me, unto me, Uccheshanam, a share of sacrifice, the Duhu gave. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demigod Pusha will be able to chew only through the teeth of his disciples. And if alone, he will have to satisfy himself by eating dough made from the chickpea flour. But the demigods who have agreed to give me my share of the sacrifice will recover from all their injuries. The demigod Pusha became dependent on his disciples for chewing. Otherwise, he was allowed to swallow only dough made up of chickpea flour. Thus, his punishment continued. He could not use his teeth for eating. Since he had laughed at Lord Shiva, deriding him by showing his teeth, in other words, it was not appropriate for him to have teeth. for he had used them against Lord Shiva. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pushatu Yajamanasya Dadbhir Jakshatu Pishtabhuk Devaha Prakrta Sarvanga Yema Uccheshanam Daduhu. The demigod Pusha will be able to chew only through the teeth of his disciples, and if alone, he will have to satisfy himself by eating dough made from chickpea flour. But the demigods who have agreed to give me my share of the sacrifice will recover from all their injuries. So the whole problem started in Daksha Yajna was of Maryada Vyatikram, which is an offense that one who crosses his boundary, the limitations, or his jurisdiction. The laws of material nature are very stringent. Even the physical law that have been derived by observational truth of science, it says that for every action, there is an opposite and equivalent reaction. How it compensates its own way in the material nature automatically is also to be understood. The science cannot fathom the cause of reaction, but they acknowledge that there is an ensuing reaction. As far as the living entities are concerned, who are willfully indulging in the workings of the stringently conducting material nature under the supervision of Lord Shri Krishna, if anybody wants to go out of the purview of their jurisdiction, means ignoring Lord Shri Krishna, or by continuing their enviousness to Lord Shri Krishna and his servants like Lord Shiva, there will be immediate reactions. There are agents who convey these reactions like Yamaraj, Shiva. They are all Mahajanas. They are pure devotees. But sometimes they have to do thankless task. Even Narayani or Durga, she is also a pure devotee. But she has to conduct thankless task, because to maintain material nature, the material nature has its own intrinsic way of balancing. Just like in our body, there is a built-in system called immunity. There is a built-in system, a defense system. No foreign object can go in without having a reaction towards it. So that immunization, or to remain immune, is a balancing nature of the prakriti or the material nature. And it can adjust its own self. Prakriti also rebels. And the agents of the managing the prakriti, they also rebel. A rebellious nature is an automatically an immunizing the effect of unwanted activities. So for example, in modern times, man is violating so many rules and regulations that is harmful to the material nature, like pollution of every kind. Even the sound pollutes. Unwanted sound. Unwanted sound will be reacted by Big Bang just to shut every other sound. So the larger the size of offense, bigger the Big Bang would be. These are compensating each other as reactions ensue. So here Lord Shiva, because he was offended by Daksha, and not only that, Sati, Parvati, burnt herself. She was not agreeable with the offense. She took the offense on her own self as a devotee. A devotee cannot tolerate any offense to the Supreme. Lord Shiva is Supreme Father of the material nature. I mean, the all the living entities. And he is directly the transformation of the Lord. So he should not be misunderstood. He is the chief of all demigods, called Mahadev. And simply out of the obsession of being a great Prajapati, Daksha can violate his limitations by his puffed up nature of enviousness, and ended up in insulting Lord Shiva, didn't want to give him his share of oblations. Lord Vishnu didn't appear because of discrepancy. So this discrepancy has to be rectified, and Lord Shiva took the onus on himself, because it's not only he himself was insulted, but Sati, his dearmost consort, had to disappear from this world. So who can interfere in the workings of nature? Even the great demigods, here Prajapati Daksha, cannot interfere in the working of nature, which is conducting all her activities under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This indulgence, a voluntary indulgence. It is like a wishful indulgence in the working of nature is called karma. It's called karma. And karma is going to rebound in the reaction which is going to bind. Rebounds or rebounding means it is going to come back and entangle you. That is the nature of the karma. Any material activity. Material activity is a kind of creativity through the agency of mode of good passion, but everyone has to conduct this activity with consciousness at least geared on mode of goodness. Without that, demigods would not be given in charge of propagating. But this karma, if one becomes entangled in karmic activities, then he will be tightly bound up. And yet, his false ego may dictate him that he is beyond the jurisdiction of the reaction, as if he is lord and master, but the stringent laws of material nature will not spare him. So what to speak of us tiny living entities who are still working under the influence of so-called three modes of material nature for simply our self, our self-gratification, self-aggrandizement, wishful thinking. Every living entity is born out of this hate due to separate desire and is going through the grueling experience of reactionary work. Reactionary. It is too difficult to come out. So, this is the nature that it rebounds. We call it in terms of punishment, chastisement, correction. Is also re-educating. Because we forgot, we must learn again. We must get educated. We must take up a process from the bottom line that reminds us the cause of our mistake. So it is the minute independence that has been misused by the tiny jivas, including the demigods. Including the demigods. When this situation is getting corrected and Lord Vishnu appears, he instructs Daksha very wonderfully. He says, I am the cause. And in the material world, I am expanding myself as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva for the process of creation, maintenance and annihilation. We saw here the agency of annihilation is Lord Shiva. And maintenance is possible when proper punishment and proper justification is given. Many a times we see that the justification doesn't come that easy. Or we may not realize the justification is there or not. Devotees have a different attitude to see the justification. But non-devotees who hanker for justification through the law of the courts and other agencies, or revenge and even fanaticism to exterminate the whole race. But it's all demoniac in nature. Material justification is not in the hand of man. But yet, as an agent of the Supreme Lord and remaining in alignment with this structure Krishna already created, this justification, if he accepts, then he would be able to resolve all the problems within himself, rather than go through the external agencies. The idea is that material justification, if we somehow or another try through the today's law and the court system, this justification may not be satisfactory because it is devoid of Krishna consciousness. Even though they were supposed to be reflecting the laws of the Lord. There are stringent laws of material nature, but these laws are being passed on through proper agencies who are controlling the whole lot of the population of the world, or a tract of the land which is called national laws, or community laws, and so forth and so on. But these laws always remain defective because they have been made out of material understanding. They have no spiritual understanding. John Milton, he was one of the great thinkers in America. He was a very religious man, and then he studied this kind of the laws that are being created just to run or control the society. But actually these laws are trying to protect the controllers, not the common. So he said, no wonder we made 33 million laws just to execute 10 commandments, and yet we are unable to execute any commandment. So man's indulgence is a willful indulgence into the workings of nature. He is not accepting, but nature will take care of him. The ultimate law that is governing all the living entities who are embodied souls is the death. Kalo aham asmi, mrityu sarva harascharam. All these things are set in by the Supreme Lord, under which everything revolves. In revolution, we are given an opportunity to rectify. If we misuse that opportunity, then the repetition of birth and death will continue. So here, interestingly, Lord Shiva punishes in the form of equivalent offenses of individuals. They have been entrusted to perform all these ritualistic activities of this sacrifice of daksha for the pleasure of the Lord. And he will not appear until the situation is now rectified. So Lord Shiva takes that onus to rectify himself. So in this way we see that Pusa, he is one of the head priests. He is not ordinary person. But the punishment was given that Lord Shiva's assistant who came to punish them and knocked off the teeth of Pusha because he laughed at Lord Shiva. This is another interesting thing. For devotees, to show teeth in front of the deities is also an offense. To laugh in front of the deities is an offense. We see when Dravida, the gorilla, came to harass Lord Balaram. He did so many nefarious activities, the dirty things, and started harassing the gopis also. Balaram was intoxicated, but that was an apparent reason for Dvivida to incite the fury of Balaram. And Balaram took little time in that sense, but he was completely cognizant. He decided to kill him. Because in one of the dirty gestures in front of Balaram, he did was showing his teeth. So he must be killed. It is very interesting that why one has to show teeth in front of the Lord. Unless one is obsessed by the nature of teeth. When somebody is angry, somebody is ignoring all these traits of human behavior or animal behavior, they show teeth first. Have you seen our monkeys in Vrindavan attacking? They will show teeth because the teeth are powerful means of fear, causing fear. The weaker will not show the teeth, but powerful will exert the fear and give him a shock. Then the bite comes. It is said that the jaws of time, they have very fearful teeth. And there is other kind of teeth that grinds very fine. So it depends upon the kind of offense and anti-action, the offensive action, how the reaction would follow. To knock off somebody's teeth means he must not deserve the teeth. What is the use of his teeth? He misused each and every organ. If it is misused, he will become bereft in the next life. The opportunity of each and every organ is to serve the Supreme, not to offend. Each and every senses must be employed in the service of the senses of the Supreme Personality of God. So, even if we are given individuality to use it in the material world as if we have been given opportunity to become Lord and Master of what we survey, That is a wishful thinking out of enviousness. But nobody can win it. Nobody can acquire. That's for sure. Not only that, whoever does abominable activity which are contrary to the workings of nature must be equivalently punished for the correction. So they say, tooth for a tooth, eye for an eye. Everything is there. Sometimes people see some kind of material unjustified things. For example, for Atatayinas, those who are aggressive, they must be killed. And Prabhupada says there are 6 types of aggressors. One who usurps one's property, land, or wife, one who comes with a sharp weapon, and one who one who administers poison. All of this must be put to death. It is just like ignoring the life system. Life system is the benediction of the Supreme Lord. Because we are part and parcel, we are given opportunity to rectify. And if we miss that opportunity of rectification, then other opportunities of ignorance will be following. More and more people become ignorant of it. For example, for the asuras who are avowed envious of the Supreme, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Kshipami Ajasram. Ajasram, in deep darkness, ignorance, I will perpetually keep them in. In Christianity, they call it eternal consequences of going to hell. Well, in material world, nothing is eternal. But the consequences that are being created, that by misuse of the independence, we get the reaction. But this misuse, if it is continued, like the asuras in total envy of the Lord, then Krishna is also determined to keep them in the dark hellish condition for time immemorial. So they will keep on forgetting rather than taking an opportunity to get educated. So the word punishment the word punishment does not give us the full meaning of why that action is required. But if we understand siksha, the word siksha in Sanskrit means either by education or by corporal punishment or in between. Everything is siksha. So siksha means educating. Education is punishment. Means it is given to correct our forgetfulness of our own nature. Until and unless that is being corrected, it's a waste of human form of life. Who have been given the opportunity. So from the human life, one can rise above towards the demigod life, but it will not be liberation. One may slide down to hellish condition. That is also possible. One can come back again in the human form of life if balancing act is carried out. And otherwise, by pure devotional service, by awakening the consciousness of the sleeping soul, we can even go back home, back to Godhead, transcending the entire material nature. So all these facilities are available. But the material nature has the ability to correct itself by this kind of system, that the functionality must be carried on. It's not that because laws have been violated, we throw out the system. If the laws have been violated, then it must be corrected. So here is an attempt by Lord Shiva to correct the situation. Why Pusha has to eat through the mouth of his disciples? He can only swallow sattu, the chickpea flour. In Bengal, there are a lot of sattu walas there. Here also in Vrindavan, sattu is being sold. Probably they must be all remembering Pusha's punishment. They have cultivated the habit of eating sattu. Pusha has been punished and his teeth have been knocked off. He is not getting the teeth back. Probably there was no denture system at that time. The dentists were not there. No. The skillful surgeons were there, just like Daksha got the goat's head. A goat is expert in sex life. And because the goat was supposed to be sacrificed, that goat's head was available for Daksha. So what immediately an appropriate reaction to being a Prajapati came into effect. The purpose is served, the consciousness will still remain the same. Consciousness does not depend upon the brain substance. It is the soul's intrinsic nature, because soul is chitkana, conscious particle of the Supreme Personality of God. Conscious particle, chitkana. The matter is achitkana. How is it possible for a chitkana to dwell forever with achitkana? It's an incompatible situation. Unless and until one wants to get liberated, come out from the association of achitkana, the dead matter, and go back to its own original nature. It may take time, but that is the evidence that chitkana does not belong to the material world. Neither it is manufactured by the combination of matter. As the science today is thinking. Therefore, the influence of this chitkan comes out from the heart, not from the brain. And one has to see through the eyes anointed with love. And these eyes are situated in the core of his inner consciousness called heart. The deepest depth of the consciousness is the heart. And it must remain awake. That is subservient to the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. So, he will be able to make through by tolerating these inconveniences of reactions. The body may perform. He remains indifferent. He cultivates the art of making indifference to the opposite reactions. So for him, he doesn't have to go to the court to get justification. He resolves within himself and goes back home, back to God. So this is the devotional process to completely resolve the justification problem. So here we are given indications of that through punishment of Pusha and Daksha, how Lord Shiva is creating the conducivity to perform the stop yajna, the sacrifice of Daksha. So actually, by punishing, he is favoring Daksha's resolve. And Daksha later on acknowledges that, and he thanks for Lord Shiva for chastising him, punishing him this way. No objection. Oh, why didn't you give me a cow's head or elephant head? No. Goat head is good. He doesn't complain. He accepts. So thank you very much. Anybody has any question or comment?
Maharaji, my point is that Newton's law of action and reaction is equal and opposite. It's normally immediate or sometimes simultaneously. But it doesn't happen so with the material nature. The karma, whether good or bad, it has to go through bijam, kutam, parabdh, aparabdh, and phalam. Why it is so and who decides? Whether it has to be a problem.
Five factors have been described in Bhagavad Gita. Karta cha adhisthanam cha. The place, the karta, the endeavor itself, which is tainted with the three modes of material nature. You know? And the what is fourth? Daivam is the fifth. There is karanam and karanam also. Karanam means cause and karanam means the action. The cause and effect. But they all depend upon these five factors. So therefore, Krishna has said, it's not that you throw the ball and it rebounds from the wall in the same velocity that you throw. But the factor of the air, the medium, and what is the ball made up of, all the elements are there. So generally, when you throw with a speed of, say, 90 miles an hour, the rebounds may be only 60 miles an hour. It's an appropriate calculation. It should not come necessarily at the same speed because it has a mass. It has a resistance. So, if our karma is there, it is also affected by this subtle nature. The factors are there. Surrounding factor is there. Suppose if you throw within the water something, what kind of speed it would have? Because if you use the same strength, but still it will not go far, because the atmosphere, the medium itself is watery, liquid. It resists. So material nature is equipped with everything. And they are faithful. All the elements that take part in the action and reaction, they are all coming through Krishna's energy. But from which medium, who is working, how he is, what kind of consciousness he is working, everything has to be taken into account. Therefore, a devotee becomes free from the reaction if he serves with great enthusiasm and great endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Lord. The result will be multifold. Because he is doing through the medium of transcendence, not with material resistance. It will be transcending all solid. Otherwise, how is it possible? So, our endeavor should be in congruence to the desire of the Supreme Lord. Yes.
Vedavyas Priya Manoj, thank you for class. My question is, does it exist transcendental smile of devotees in front of Murti by showing teeth? Does it exist a sincere transcendental smile from devotee in front of Murti by showing teeth?
No, he will be conscious of not to show the teeth, but still smile. Smile means stretch your lips. That's good enough. There is no show of teeth. Otherwise, it's an offense. It's considered to be offense. Don't show the teeth as a transcendental smile. Conscious. Be exemplary.
You were quoting from John Milton, saying that we have developed 33 million laws to execute the commandments? You mean the Ten Commandments?
Yes. Ten commandments are so simple for the simple people, but people are complicated. They want to indulge voluntarily to satisfy their own desire and neglect the Ten Commandments. Who is following Ten Commandments anyway? How come they cannot follow Ten Commandments? Because Ten Commandments, you know, ask for surrender to the Supreme and execute His will. But nobody wants to do that. So under even the religiosity, say, thou shalt not kill, but yet they are killing anyway and try to justify and create a sub-religious principle rather than religious principle. Uphold the law directly. Srila Prabhupada confronted so much about this cow killing. Thou shalt not kill. But they would say, oh, thou shalt not murder. You can kill an animal, it is not murder. If you kill a man, then it is murder, and you are not supposed to kill a man. But you can kill a cow. So, do you think that is justification? Then why this war and pestilence and everything ensues? It's a reaction. And when we see on the other behalf, one who kills a cow, he will have to go under the same experience of being slaughtered as many times as the hairs on the cow's body. And that kind of, verdict given in our Shastra is justifiable. If we understand through the Krishna consciousness that yes, it is punishable that many times. I just killed one cow, what's the big deal? I have to be slaughtered so many times, as many times the hairs on the body of a cow. That's not justification. But he's devoid of the transcendental nature. So an animal is put under repeated experience of birth and death. In the same way, he induced. Okay, how would you justify if somebody kills an animal or slaughters an animal or orders to slaughter or one who distributes, one who sells or one who cooks and one who eats, all six type of people are equally punishable. How would you justify? Shastra is not wrong. Prabhupada says it is like a conspiracy. Whoever is helping to conspire an act of murder, even of an animal, will be equally punished. All the conspirators should go for death. Very straightforward, isn't it? But human being is not straightforward. To become a devotee means to become very, very simplified. The simplest situation can arise when one becomes agreeable to the desire of the Lord. So thank you very much. Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And will become simplified.